Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. The Lord is going to break some things off of us tonight. And part of the reason he's doing that is for a few days I've been seeing that as we come into the end of this year, he's bringing closure, but he's preparing us for the next thing. And sometimes when we're being prepared for the next thing, he needs to lift off the old thing. And so I'm seeing, in this room, I'm seeing him break off some things even before I start preaching. I saw the word disappointments. And you know, sometimes you can love the Lord with all your heart, but disappointments happen, and maybe a series of them, and you can start to grow weary in well-doing. It doesn't mean you don't love him as much as ever you did, but disappointments can cause a weariness, and that's the plan of the enemy, right? And when you get a weariness, it's hard to look up with the eye of faith and step into the new thing, because you start to think it's always going to be this way, but it's not. And so some years ago, I was coming out of a pretty hard time, and God kept showing me a picture over my life. And I had been in this long, 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 long hallway. And it wasn't black, but it wasn't white. It was just very gray. And I'd been doing, you know, what do you do when you go through a hard time? You just keep going, right? You just keep going. You do what's right because it's right, right? But I had grown weary, and I was still doing good works. I was well doing, but I was weary and well doing. But the worst part of it is I didn't realize that when it goes for too many years, a person can stop looking for things to change. And so even though the Lord had promised me certain things he was doing, and I knew he was doing them, you know, you can get tired, and I'm describing some people in here, more than one, more than one person in here. And this may, for some people, be only one area of your life, but the Lord is breaking it off of your heart. I see a shell, like a shell of heaviness, disappointment, weariness, always looking back and always feeling like, is this ever going to change? And the Lord says, yes! And he said the problem with that sense or that feeling is it causes you... Now, when the Lord is ready to do it, it's the day for him to do it. It's the day for your promotion from darkness into light. And he's, the thing is done in the spirit. He's ready to do it. We actually stop it because now we've gotten into, without realizing it, a bit of unbelief. You know, we no longer kind of want the thing. I'm talking to somebody. And so the picture didn't end with the hallway. The picture was a person just inside the doorway, and over the threshold was an entrance into a huge, bright, so bright white area. Very large, very perfect, very beautiful. But they no longer wanted to step over the threshold because they'd been through too much for too long. Now, I know I'm not talking to everybody, but I know I'm talking to somebody. And so tonight the Lord is breaking off of you the weariness. I see road dust from the road. Road dust, right? Road weary. Some of you been faithful, you know, when you just because it's the right thing to do for years. But I see the Lord actually breaking the shell off of you. And you're going to be like, I'm reminded of the scripture that says a calf let out of the stall. Now, if you've never been around calves, I have. I grew up around them. And if you ever keep an animal in the barn too long, you know, a couple of days too long, believe me, you do not want to be in the doorway when they open it, okay, because they will will be flattened. And they're not trying to be mean. They're just so happy to get out of that stall. And that's what God is saying to you. If you're a person that I just described, that you've been through too much for too long and you've carried the luggage of it. Sometimes we don't even mean to, but our emotions begin to carry things that we should no longer carry. And the Lord says, I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that. And I see him taking these almost like, looks like sandbags, you know, those heavy sandbags. And he's taking them off your heart. I even see one person trying to hold on to their sandbags. Give it up. Because the Lord says, I have promised you a thing and I will do what I promised, but you're actually now the one in the way. You think I'm the one in the way. You have emotions that have told you that I'm not true to my word because I promised it so many years ago and it didn't come to pass, so you think I haven't kept my word. Be careful, because now that's the edge of unbelief. Sometimes I am slow, but I do keep my word, and I keep it in the perfect timing, not what you think is the perfect timing. Not what you think. He says, you got to remember, I see the end from the beginning. And I see the transition that you've been in. And whether you know it or not, the process has been to bring transition in you, to bring morph, to bring change, to change who you are structurally. Because you've asked for some things. You've believed for some things. You saw some promises early on. There's some of you in here. You saw the promise of God with great clarity. You knew it was God, and you held on to it, and you latched on to it. You said, I know that's God. You wrote it in your journal, and you had great joy for some time, but over time, things got difficult, and Satan began to buffet you, and stuff started to fall apart, and in some cases, it got so bad that it was literally impossible for the thing to come to pass. Well, guess what? It's still gonna. It may not look like you thought, but God is gonna do something, and I can see, I'm looking in the spirit, I can see the sun coming up on the horizon, and it's a sun you never thought you'd see again. Amen. It's something you never thought you'd see again, but the sun is coming up on your dream. There's someone in here, you've had hopes deferred, you've had dreams that have died. I remember when the Lord spoke to me and he said, and my husband had literally died, I think, that day or the day before. The Lord said, I'm about to do the thing I promised you all those years ago. And I thought, pick somebody else. I mean, I honestly thought, please, I'm not in the mood. You know, I love you, but, you know, it's been 40 years. I'm kind of out of the mood now, you know. Kind of, you know, go pick, you know, somebody else. Thanks. And God said this to me, and I feel like he's saying this to some of you. He said, here's the problem. I asked you to do certain things, and you did them. You have now obligated me to keep my promise to you, so we're doing it, whether you like it or not. So you might as well like it. I said, oh, well, okay, then. And so I had a little repentance fest. And I said, I apologize. I had a crummy attitude. I'm sorry. And I repent of being discouraged because it took so long. And I repent of saying, go pick somebody else. You didn't pick somebody else. God actually yelled at me one time. So I kept telling him, go use Rob. I got this friend. He's a Holy Ghoster. Man, he could do this better than I can do it. I said, go pick Rob. One day God yelled at me. I mean, have you ever had God yell at you? It was an internal voice, but it was pretty loud. You know, you couldn't miss it. He said, I didn't pick Rob, I picked you. Okay. Hey, sorry. Don't yell anymore, because you're scary. So I had to repent and say, listen, I apologize for not being prepared to receive whatever it is you want to do. And not only will I receive it, I will receive it with joy, because it is an honor and a privilege. I will carry it with the grace, by the grace of God only, and I will be thankful, and I will do it all the days of my life. Hallelujah. And so we have to be made ready. Sometimes we think the ball is in God's court, but a lot of times it's in our court. And I feel like the promises of God are so on the horizon right now. They're almost jumping up and down, like, I'm ready, 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 I'm ready. But we have been, you know, too long in the trenches, right? And, you know, sometimes when you wait a long time, I mean, how must it have felt for Abraham after, think how many decades. I mean, you're talking to somebody that's been through some decades of nothing, you know, nothing. Decades. And you start to feel like, eh. But what I'm saying is there are some things that God will do before this thing winds up. There are some things he will do that he is ready to do. And now his issue is getting his people in position, out of the tired camp, out of the wounded camp. And I'm not, listen, I never condemn people for being wounded. I was the queen of wounded. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to be so broken you don't even know if you can make it one more day. I understand that personally. But what I'm saying to you is, now is a day where God is calling us up and out. If you need healing, he will heal you. If you need wholeness, he will make you whole. If you need a holy forgetfulness, he will give it to you. If you need to be delivered, he will deliver you. There's someone here with a physical heart condition. He will heal you because he's not done with you. The doctor has given you a diagnosis, and I saw this metal thing clamping down on your heart, and the Lord said, no, we're not doing that. I'm not done with you. I'm not done with my purpose for you. You will run the race set before you, and you will run it in perfect health. And not finished. I'm just getting ready for the big hurrah, he says. We're not done here. I'm just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up. But I need my people to begin to come into position. Because, see, people have been so distracted by the things of this world. You remember the old scripture, love not the world nor the things in this world. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Well, we thought that meant, you know, evil things in the world. But let me tell you what else it means. Fear of goings on. Being so politically minded that we've lost our sense of what's going on in the spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I vote and I pray a lot for this country, and I mean a lot. But that can never come before what God is doing in the heavens, or I will miss the bus that I am supposed to be on. Because this issue isn't really political. It is 100% spiritual warfare. Half of the sicknesses, at least, that you've encountered are spiritual battles. And if you don't learn how to win spiritual battles, you're going to have trouble. And if you're looking for God to just come and do it, you need to learn how to fight. The kingdom of heaven allows violence or suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And so there's been a lot of good faith teaching, but my concern with it is we kind of sit on our haunches and wait for God to do his part. Listen, Jesus Christ did his part on the cross. He did his part. The rest is up to us. He already did what he's going to do. He already released it to you and me legally. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you have to contend. Sometimes you have to contend, and you're not contending with God. This is where I used to be confused when I was young. I would think, God, what is the deal? You know, I felt like I was fighting with God to get him to keep his promise. That's a terrible system. Because I didn't understand. God said, your battle isn't with me. I want it more than you do. You have an enemy who's out to kill you. He's using deception, and he's got foul spirits, and you can't see them. So you have to perceive them and kill them. Got it? You have to learn how to do war. In the natural, if people go to war and they just sit around and go, okay, God, take care of it, they will be killed. Okay? Seriously. But why do we think that the spirit realm is any different? It's a war. There's a war on, and listen, Satan's not playing. We've been playing, but Satan's not playing. He's not playing. And so we have to learn to win. Listen, you learn how to win. You learn how to pray until you know that realm better than he does. So remember, when you do battle, you're going into his world. The realm of the spirit actually is your home. Our problem is we have not gone home for a while. Our problem is we thought we were supposed to wait until we die to go home. That's a really poor doctrine. Heaven is your home right now. And our problem is we've been so earthly minded, we have not understood even the ABCs of how heaven works, how to win a battle, how to walk in the heavenlies and take what belongs to us by covenant right. Listen, if you ever get it, it's so easy. If you ever get it, if you ever get the concept of what Jesus has really done and given you, everything becomes easier. It's not this constant fight to get what God promised. Or wondering, you know, I used to think when I was young and, you know, didn't really understand. I would think, well, you promise, when you're ready, I guess you'll do it. You know, well, he was already ready. I was the problem through lack of knowledge. People perish through lack of knowledge. I was perishing. Devil almost took me out completely. I was almost not here. By the grace of the Lord Jesus, I was saved. But God had to teach me a completely new Christianity because the one I knew wasn't working. Let's be brutally honest. Have you ever thought, you know, it says this and it says this and they teach this and they teach that and it ain't working? Listen, there's a reason for that. God has truths that we need to understand to make the thing work. And it's actually not hard. But when we presume, I was presuming that the ball was in God's court. Listen, God had already done what he was going to do, and there was a war on, but I didn't realize it, so I was sitting around doing nothing, drinking tea, thinking, God, why don't you do it? He was thinking, Holly, why don't you? Right? He stripped the devil clean and gave me full authority. And here's me blaming him. Young, in my 20s. Very young. Very foolish. But what I'm saying is God wants to raise up a people that will do whatever it takes to get positioned in their heavenly position. Do you know that you have a heavenly position? Do you know that you have a chair in heaven? Do you know that you're seated in heavenly places? You say, well, I don't feel like I'm seated in heavenly places. That's because you're looking at it through your carnal, your flesh, your earthly eyes. That's earthly minded. Do you know what carnal means? We think it's a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. It means of the senses. To be carnally minded is death. That means to go by what you see with these eyes, hear with these ears, smell with this. Those are carnal senses. They're just earthly senses. And if you're living based on, oh my God, I got a bill I can't pay, right? Then you're earthly minded. Not condemning you. I'm just telling you how it works. Just trying to help you rise above. If you can ever get your mind and understanding transformed to understand heaven, to understand that that is really your home, that you have full and complete covenant right in that place, and it belongs to you already, you will never put up with all that stuff. You won't put up with it. You won't put up with lack. You won't put up with sickness. You won't put up with nonsense. You won't put up with the deception of the enemy's lies. And you won't put up with fear. And you won't get caught up in the way everybody's all in this hoo-ha over whatever the hoo-ha is this week. Listen, when you live your life above, I'll tell you a couple things. People will think you're a little strange. They may think you're being snotty. You're really not. You're just not here half the time. You know, you're not trying to be mean. You're just, you know, elsewhere. Saint elsewhere. The saint is elsewhere. But God is trying to get his people into their position. Each of us into a position where normal is that you're seeing your life from a heavenly perspective. Did you know that it is normal to walk in an open heaven 24/7? According to God, not us. According to God. Did you know that that is what God desires for all his kids? That you can hear from God all day, every day. You don't have to wait 4 years to hear one little answer. God has died for you to have this. Now, does it happen in an instant? No, you press into it. For me, what happened is it became more valuable than anything earth had to offer. When I found out this was real, when I found out this was a thing that could be had in this earth, not when we die by and by, when I found out this is a real thing, that we can have heaven on earth, we can live in an open heaven, we can live in the presence of the King, we can live with an open relationship, always communing with God, that we can have that, no matter what kind of person we were, no matter what our past was, no matter what our faults are, because we've all got them. When I figured that out, I said, I don't care about anything else. I will do whatever it takes to find my way there. And inch by inch and step by step, I began to seek the Lord. And it did not happen overnight. It took some years. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't trade it for billions of dollars. There's nothing you could offer me that would make me give up what I found in the heavenly places. And not because it's a goosebump. I don't seek the Lord for goosebumps. I don't care about that stuff. I don't. But because when you're in that place, you are changed. You're changed from glory to glory. You're changed from faith to faith. Your faith grows strong. Your knowledge of the word increases. Enlightenment of what the word mean increases. That's to me amazing. A scripture you didn't even understand. You go hang out with God, and all of a sudden it's just this explosive revelation. You haven't even read it in 10 years. I'm telling you the truth. The word comes alive in the realms of God because he's alive. Life is in his courts. And if you're feeling dead, you're hanging around in the wrong courts. No condemnation. People don't know how to do any different. They don't know how to go more. And someone gave me good advice when I was first learning this. They said, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And I thought, well, I can do that. I don't know anything. Didn't have anything to offer. No gifting, no skills whatsoever. But I thought, I can do that. And I began to walk up and down at the church, pray in spirit. Walk up and down, pray in the spirit. Walk up and down, pray in the spirit. Hours and hours every night. And something began to change. Because when you're doing that, you're exercising your spirit. All other things that you might do would exercise your flesh, which is good. But this is, you're actually tuning into God's realm. You're learning his frequency. You're becoming sensitive to his voice, his frequency. It's different than on earth. He doesn't sound like people on earth sound. His frequencies don't sound, don't feel like anything we have on earth. So the only person that can train you is the Holy Spirit in you. I can't, you know, a preacher can point the way, but for you to have it, you have to say that is worth more. That to me, pearl of great price. That is the pearl of great price. I'll sell everything else for that one thing. Time, money, nothing matters to me but that. Him, that's what I want. I want him. And I want him to be in his fullness in my life. And here's the good news. When you begin to find that place, there comes a oneness that nobody can take from you. No devil can accuse you out of it because you know who you are and whose you are. Because once you cross over, and I'm not saying you're perfect, you're still not perfect. Your flesh still stinketh, right? You're still a human. You still make mistakes. But in your spirit, man, when you commune with the Father, I'm telling you, things begin to happen where you become a carrier of his presence. In this day, God is looking for those who, some people have been preparing themselves for years. Years they've been preparing themselves to know the King. They've never gone public. Nobody knows what they know. They've studied, they've prayed, they've fasted. Nobody knows how much power or anointing they have because they've been behind closed doors. But guess what? If you keep your heart right, that's a big part of it, especially towards him and towards his people. That's the one thing he's kind of fussy about. You can't have an attitude. You got to keep your heart right. But if you keep your heart right, I'm telling you, if you position yourself in your chair in heaven, we'll say, very soon you're going to start to see a holy onslaught. God is looking for those that will prepare themselves or who are already prepared, because in this next move of God, believe me, everybody will know it's God. The unbelievers will know it's God. People who had a big mouth against God will suddenly clap their hand over their mouth. God is about to do some things. People think there's trouble now. This isn't trouble. This is nothing. There will be things. Listen, there's going to be things in the earth. I don't know when. I don't have a sense of timing, but I know there will be things in the earth that some people will be terrified. And I saw a picture And I was looking from above, and I saw many, many people. And something dreadful was happening. Something terrifying was happening. But some people were looking up, saying, God, what do I do? Just keeping their gaze on him. And the others were running around, looking to people and running around in fear. And God said, that's the remnant, those who are looking up. Those who are not terrified by the things they see or hear. They're not moved by the things of this world. They are not shaken. They are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Their focus is on me. And they have one question, Lord, what would you have me do right now? And 24/7, that's always the right question. How about now? What would you have me do now? Whether you're baking a cake, or whether you're writing an article, or whether you're raising the dead, what would you have me do now? And he will always help you, because it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Listen, you remember the scripture, it says the whole earth groans, right? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What are they, really? They're not just people who are born again. Got tons of those, right? They're people who've so identified with the Son of God that they begin to manifest him because they have become as he is. Not that they're perfect in their flesh, but listen to me. There will be one earmark. You'll be able to tell them a mile away. They'll be the one saying, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I didn't come to get glory for my deal or build my ministry or be well thought of. I came to do what my Father's will and to bring him glory. And that is more important than whether I raise the dead or heal the sick or make big tithes. Those are all good things and you'll do all those things. But the sons of God are those who say, I didn't come to do my will. I didn't come for my own glory. And there's a lot I'm telling you now. I'm just telling you. You will see ministries shaken and fall. And I don't have anything against anybody. I'm not saying this in judgment. It's not a judgment. It's a fact. But people who have put their deal above the deal of God, it won't stand. Some of you remember the tornado vision. There was a massive tornado. Some of us were hardly aware because we were up inside it having like tea and cakes. We were having a great fellowship, just having a wonderful time. And I happened to look down and I saw the tail of this tornado just wiping, just exploding buildings. It was actually going down like a seashore, and these buildings were just exploding into nothing. And I knew that we were safe because we were in him. Nothing could hurt us. We were in him. So if you want to be safe, be in him. Right? If you're running around, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off, you're not in him. Now, there's a couple things. Lord, give me the grace to say all that I feel like I need to say. In the last year, I had an updated version of that vision, and I saw some people that were halfway down the tail. They were hanging on, and they were getting flung this way and flung that way. And they were hanging on for dear life. They were people who were believers, but they weren't in him. They also weren't being destroyed, but boy, their ride was tough. It was tough. I'm telling you, the only safe place is in him. And it's not only safe, there's immense peace and joy in there. It's like you're hardly aware there's a problem. I mean, I was hardly aware there was a tornado. We were hardly aware there was a COVID. You know, everybody's more like, what are they babbling about? You know, nothing against them, but just, you know, when you live in a different place, you don't care. It's just not your deal. It's a different lifestyle. God is calling us upward. And so I had asked the Lord, what are the buildings that the tornado is destroying? And he said, it's man-made religion. So do not be disturbed. I'm just telling you as a friend. Don't be worried if you see a church that falls. God's not mad. It's not a judgment. But what has happened is it could be, it may be, that the thing wasn't securely built on his glory, his will, his desire. Amen? And those things are going to fall. They can't make it. The only thing that will stand in this day is what is truly his. So the safe place is just stay in his will. Stay close to him. And if you don't know how to be close to him, set yourself to get so close to him that you live in him. And if you don't know how, that's okay. No one knows how at first. Nobody. When I started, I was clueless, but I knew it was real. That I knew. And I didn't know how to do it. I said, God, teach me. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. Teach me how to pray in the Spirit. Teach me how to come close to you. Teach me how to come to heavenly places. Teach me how to worship. I don't know how to worship. Teach me how. And he's so sweet. You see, because what did he do? Listen, he didn't just die for you to have everything. He released the Holy Spirit, who is the living spiritual image of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form. It's who he is. It's Jesus in you. Jesus here. Right? Because we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Right? So the Holy Spirit, he sent, he breathed on him, said, receive the Holy Spirit. You can't do this without the Holy Ghost. You can't do, listen, don't even try to do the end times without the Holy Ghost. Don't even. If there's a war, don't be trying to do war without the Holy Ghost. Don't be trying to hide from bombs if you don't have the Holy Ghost saying, psst, go over here. You need him. And if you have denied him, you better repent really quick, because I'm telling you, he's the best friend you have ever had. He will save your life. He's saved my bucket thousands of times. Can't even count how many times he's helped me. But much more than that, whether you know it or not, he is your closest friend, your best friend, your greatest confidant. He's your teacher, and he never grows tired of teaching you the ABCs. Doesn't matter if you ask him the same question a thousand times, I know you told me, and I just don't get it. He'll say, well, let's try this way, and he'll show you another way. He never gets impatient. And listen, somebody that hasn't been impatient with me is really patient. Because there's some questions I'm like, I still don't get it. You're going to have to, you know, make it clearer. But see, if you continue to ask, and how long do you ask? Until you get it. And then what do? You don't stop. Say, okay, I got that. No. Now you say, okay, now what's after that? Because heaven, listen to me, is an ever-increasing lifestyle. Some people think when they get this little bit, and they got this little bit of anointing, there, I've got it, hallelujah. No, you don't. No, you don't. None of us do. There's levels upon levels upon levels. And I used to not know that. And God started showing me. It seemed like every time I'd get somewhere, I'd think, oh, I finally get that thing. I finally understand what he's talking to me about. Finally know how to operate in that. Finally know how to manifest that. Yay, finally got that. He'd say, good, now. And he'd take me to the next room. I'd say, what is that? What in the world? Because there's always more, because he is infinite. And he desires to cause us, his kids, are we worthy now, except for what Jesus did? No. And yet he desires to bring us up into the realm of the Spirit until we are experts. Nothing would please the Father more than for you to be an expert in the realm of the Spirit. Not so you can be a hotshot, but because the more you know, the more people you can help. When you know a lot, you can help a lot of people. You don't always feel like it. But God is about people. Some of God's children are so messed up and so steeped in lies that they can't find their way out unless someone helps them. They can't find their way out unless somebody says, Holy Ghost, what are you saying? And maybe you get one simple sentence. And you say it gently, honey. Say it as gently as you can. And you unlock them from that thing. And then 6 months later, here they are again with the next thing. And why? Because the Holy Ghost did it for you. I'm obligated for the rest of my life to help people. Because he saved me over and over. He didn't just save me. He saved me from depression. He saved me from suicide. He saved me from sickness. He saved me from complete discouragement so bad I thought, I am not doing this anymore. I'm done. But here I still am because of the Holy Ghost. And see, when he's your best friend, somewhere along the line, it's like you bind yourself to him. I can't describe. I was in a very tough situation where I despaired of life. I did not want to live anymore because my life was pretty bad. And I went to this conference, and my dear friend was going to room with me, but she hadn't arrived yet. And I was talking to the Lord, and I said, I need you to bind me to yourself so strongly that even if I want to walk away, I can't. And I felt the binding of the Lord going around me, binding me to him. And do you know, that saved my life a few years later. Because let me tell you, a day came when I thought, I cannot go one more day in this. I'm done. But I couldn't do a thing because I was bound to the Lord. And who set that up? He did. Would I have even thought of that? Nope. He's your teacher. He lives in your home. And if you've asked to be filled with the Spirit, he lives in your body. He lives in your spirit with your spirit. He's always guiding the way to God's will, and always gently. And I think a lot of our problem is we don't really get who he is, or we are afraid to ask, or we've believed lies that maybe he doesn't want to. That's why he's here. You know, you think about the price that Jesus paid. It's a terrible price, right? Terrible, terrible price he paid. But the Holy Spirit has also paid a terrible price. He'd be floating around in heaven, having a great time. But he bound himself to this earth to help God's kids when they would have no other help. Even those who reject him, speak against him, think they know more than him, argue with him, won't do what he says, don't want to know what he says, thank you, because they have a better plan. Hallelujah. That was amen. He has paid that price for 2,000 years, always looking for someone who says, pick me. If nobody else wants it, I want it. If nobody else wants to hang out with you, I want to hang out with you. If nobody else wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want to be. If nobody else wants to come to the Holy Ghost classroom, I'm coming. And I don't even know how. But I'm going to come here, and I'm come here again, I'm going to come here again, I'm going to keep on coming here. And you know what? At first, you don't know anything. You don't even know you don't even know how to ask. You know, I would say, Lord, I don't even know. I know there's something, but I don't even know how to ask for it. I just know there's more. And I want it. But you know, he knows what you need. A good teacher, listen, a kid that just learned fractions doesn't know the next step in mathematics, do they? Not what the teacher does. You don't always know what you need to know. You don't even know what questions to ask. I didn't. But I knew that he did. And see, we have to become pliable in his hands. Press into the Lord. I was talking about this the other day. There's a man in Ohio. He's now with the Lord, but he ministered until he was practically 100 years old. Phenomenal miracles. I mean, really phenomenal creative miracles for really since he was a teenager. Think about that. Think about walking in miracles from, I think, like the age of 17 or something until almost 100. And never falling away, never walking away. I mean, that's something. Now, a lot of people can move in it for a couple of years and you never hear from him again. I used to watch that guy operate in miracles, and he said one day, this is what he said. He said, if you want this kind of faith, you have to contend for it. And what that meant to him was a lot of praying and a lot of fasting. He would go on these long fasts. And you know, it's not that you earn it with a fast. It's that you set yourself apart unto the holy. What else can we do that sets us apart unto God? It may not be food, it may be food, it may be you fast from TV, maybe you fast from your computer, maybe you fast Facebook, hallelujah. Oh, did I say that with an attitude? But when you fast, listen, what you do is you come in agreement with the cross. That's exactly why, I used to think, why would a fast be powerful? Why would it be powerful to not eat? I don't get it. It is, there's no question that it is, it's powerful. But I couldn't figure out why. But it's because you are picking up your cross, denying yourself, and following him, who said, not my will, but thine be done. And when you come in agreement with the cross, you get more of what Jesus had. You become aware of what he died for. Your eyes are opened to his realm because you've said, I'm not interested in this realm for a while. I'm not interested in earth realm for a while. I'm not interested in the news. I'm not interested in food. I'm not interested in anything but my Jesus. Now what happens? Your focus just shifted, didn't it? And what you focus on, you get. What you focus on is what you get. Are you focused on sickness? Don't do that. Don't focus on sickness. Just don't. Don't give it the time of day. The devil comes and tries to, you know what he tries to do? He tries to tempt you with it. You're going to get a tiny little scratch. Oh, this is the dreaded mungus. And you know, all your neighbors, they're in the hospital, and their oxygen is down to 40. Oh, man, this is it. This is the big one. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Amen. And shut up. Because what I'm going to focus on is my Savior who died for me, and his blood was shed for me. His blood purchased for me wholeness and healing in every way. What you focus on is what you get. Some people focus, I'm sorry, I have to, you know, have to follow the leader. Some people focus on their great ministry, and I used to be one. You know, when you're young, your ego's kicked in. You're going to be the great hoo-ha, you know. What is it, the grand high exalted hoo-ha from Fred Flintstone? The grand high exalted, you know, because you're going to be waving your hands and the dead people rise, you know. And it's an ego thing. Or somebody gets really doctrinally, you know, and then their ego kicks in. Listen, it's one of the biggest tricks of the devil. You know, don't marry that thing. That thing will kill you. Pride is one of the most deadly enemies we have. Really deadly. When I come to God, I come as nothing. You know, nothing. And it's easy to do. But what happens is, when you're younger, you may be tempted to take the promise of God and tie your value to it. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. It's a real danger. If I could do that, then I would be fulfilled. If I could do that, then I would feel. Now, you never say this. People never say this, okay? But this is a fact. Just pulling back the covers, just showing you. You can tie miracles with you being used of God and greatly respected, right? People turn their ministry into an ego thing and don't even know they did it. I'm gonna say something that might make you mad, but it is true. And I'm not the one saying this, okay? But I feel like the Lord wants me to say it. There are people who are leaders in the body who will let you operate in your stuff as long as you don't do it better than they do. See, that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is, I hope you do it better than I do. Yeah. Really. Because then I did my job. If I could get you to do what I do better than I do it, that's what the Lord wants. Because I have to be about his kingdom. He must decrease. He must increase. We must decrease. And if that's not your heart, pray into it. Because as you mature, as you start to get, listen, that's the last that's the last cross you have to die on before you'll get your ministry. Oh, dear. See, to get to your ministry, quite often, you have to die to a whole bunch of things, don't you? You know, you have to die to having an opinion, knowing anything about anything. You have to die to a lot of dreams, because what are you doing? You're changing to be a manifested into someone like Jesus, which is what you asked for, right? Don't be surprised if God demands it of you. Well, I can't believe he's asking that of me. Well, what did you ask for? Did you say, oh, Lord, I just want to be like you. I'll do anything to be like you. Oh, really? And we'll see. He loves people who pray that. That's so important. And if you pray that, that means you got a good heart. And I prayed it, And I even said, I will die on any cross. I knew I was not usable. I knew for a fact I was not usable. But I so wanted to do something for him because he'd done so much for me. I knew I didn't have any ability to win souls. None. Zero. Couldn't talk to people. I said, but if you could help me, Lord, to win souls, I said, I would die on any cross. And it's like for a moment, you know, I'm not saying it did, but it seems like heaven stopped and went, oh, let me design a plan for you. And what he's doing, it's not to harm you. God is delighted when you have that heart, and some of you have that heart. Some of you said, oh, Jesus, I want to change. I want to be like you. I want to be just like you. I want to be loving like you. I want to walk in power like you. That's a good heart. But what has to happen is we have to be changed, don't we? Because it can't be about us, because the whole thing about being like him is you got to be like him. And unfortunately, to be like him, some of me has to be crucified. Ow. So me thinking it's about me has to be crucified. Me thinking I have a ministry has to be crucified. So you go through the process of one thing after the other, I can't do anymore. I didn't think it would cost this much. You know? That's life at the scripture. You know, if you, any man would build a building, let him sit down and count the cost. Well, there is no way that you can know the cost of this building. Catherine Kuhlman said it costs everything. Everything. When you think you're done, you're not done. Hallelujah. Surely I'm ready now. Oh, no, you're not. But it's actually a compliment from God, and he doesn't do it to people who don't ask. Some people don't ask. They don't care. They don't care if they're changed. They don't care if they carry the presence. They don't care if they're used of God. So they never have many challenges. You ever meet somebody like that? They sin rampantly, and you think, really? And nothing's happening? How does that work? Because they didn't care. They didn't ask. I remember praying for a guy, praying fervently hour upon hour for this man to be delivered. And, you know, I was praying that he would really be set free because he really, I felt he had a calling. He had some pretty serious demons going on. One day God said, Holly, he didn't ask me to change. You did. Oh, says I. You're not trying to change him. You are dealing with me to change my stuff. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I was the one in the prayer meeting all the time, right? But what is God doing? He's raising us to a level. Listen, the reason the church hasn't been willing to pay a price is they haven't understood the pearl. The reason people said, well, I don't want to pay that much of a price. Why should I pay that price? Why should I spend that much time in prayer? That's a lot of work. Why should I fast? Why should I do that? I just want God to fix my deal, man. I want my toe healed. I want my bill paid. And I want the husband that I want. Is that so hard for God? Because really, it is all about me. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the body who think that way. It's all about me. And you know, God bless them. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to see on that day. Not saying they won't get in, but I think there will be much sorrow. Because on that day we'll say, oh, I could have. It could have been. And see, what God has done is throughout some centuries, he's given us examples of people who found their way in to the presence and the glory and dwelled there, abode there, lived there to such a degree where they began to carry his presence. And they began to walk in it, and it began to emanate from them. Come on. And if we read about them, we say, man, I want that. Well, okay. Do you want to start the process? Uh-uh. I do much work. I mean, if you read their lives and what they were willing to do, you know, there's realms in God. You know, John G. Lake, he grew up around so much sickness and disease, he said he couldn't remember a time in his life where he wasn't attending a funeral or a hospital room. Couldn't remember. 54 people in his extended family died. It was terrible. But it did something to him. It made him hate sickness. He hated it. He hated disease. And he began to press in like a madman. And he began to learn the principles of God. And there was, I remember, at one point that he wanted the Holy Ghost. And he wanted the power to cast out devils. He wanted the power to heal the sick. 8 months he pressed. And when I mean he pressed, I mean he prayed. He fasted. He prayed. He fasted. Because he cared more about that than this. When are we going to come to a place where we care more about that than this? God is trying to wake us up and to cause a burning. I hope your guts burn within you in a good way. Say, I can't be satisfied. Because I'll tell you, the first time I heard of this, it did something to me. A fire came on me. I said, I will never be okay with regular life. I will never be okay with working a job, having a husband, raising kids, and that's all. No. No. There has to be the presence of the King in my life manifest. And if I spend the rest of my life seeking that, that's fine with me. And that's what I want for you, because it's the only thing worth really going after. People go after money, and they get money, and then they go, well, I'm still not happy. They go after a spouse, they get a spouse, and they're more wretched than they were without the spouse. I'm telling real stories here. But there's one thing you can seek after that you will never regret seeking after. You'd spend your life, your time, everything you got on this. And I remember thinking, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to walk in the presence of the King. If it's the last thing I do, Father, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Teach me how to carry the presence. Teach me how to release what some of those guys released. Listen, some of those people walked in stuff where they say people over 20 miles away were impacted by the power and the presence of God. Come on. Mariah Woodworth Etter was holding these meetings, and they were just, you know, they were just rip-roaring, I'll tell you the truth. People couldn't even walk in and hit the deck because they were encountering God. Did it look weird? Yeah, it looked weird. Did people not like it? Yeah, some people had an attitude. But these guys, this is back in the days when the homeless men, they used to call it a hobo, ran the rails. They'd go on the freight cars, right? These guys are drunk, and they get off the thing miles away, and they weave their way, not knowing why they're coming here. They weave their way all the way into this meeting. And by the time they come to the altar, they're stone cold sober and get saved. Some young men came to mock because some of the people were getting so overpowered by the Holy Spirit that they looked funny. It does look funny. You ever see somebody overtaken by the Holy Ghost? It looks a little odd. You know, hallelujah. And these young men, they were hot shots, you know. You ever meet a couple high school guys? They're just hot shots. And these guys were hot shots, and they came to mock. And there were three of them. They were standing on the side, and they were making faces, mocking the people, and God froze them with a mocking expression on their face for 6 hours while they encountered him. Amen. And when they came out of it, they flooded to the altar to get saved because they were terrified. How about those apples? You see, the real tangible presence of God, when it manifests, you know, first it's like you're a sponge and you get as much as you can get. And I'm nowhere near where I want to be, by the way. But I'm nowhere near done. And I've been awakened. I might have slept for a little while, but I'm awake now. I got tired for a little while, but I'm going to tell you something. I have a renewed interest in the King. I mean, I never got tired of him, because we've always been close. We've always had an open heaven. But I will pay any price. I'm up nights praying. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. There's some fasting in the wings. And I'll tell you why. I want what God has, not for me, but for his people. And anything less will not be fulfilling. How about you? And so God is, it's like he's fishing with a line. I can see him fishing with some bait, saying, how about you? How about you? How about you? How about you? And I will never forget, I was introduced to this by a lady, and she walked in the fire of God, and if she stood close to you, you could feel the heat. And I was driving in the car listening to an old cassette tape. She was preaching fire, and I got a sunburn, a literal physical sunburn. My face was burnt, and I said, that's real. She wasn't educated. She only had a 6th grade education. She didn't speak well. She used some words wrong. But she had something. She had the presence, and she had the fire, and she was walking in his glory. Never take it. You never take it. But you can carry it if you learn how to never touch it. Never take credit for anything he did. Never. And if you're careful to always woo him and always glorify him, and always, and if he says don't minister for 2 years, okay. Okay, nobody's going to see if you're next to you. Okay. Okay, now step back out. Okay. If you make him really king and you don't try to tell him what to do and how to do it, can you imagine being God and having people tell you what you should do? Give me a break. We see it all the time. Just saying. If you start to do that, just slap yourself. Just get in front of the mirror and just slap. Just slap. Stop it. Don't ever tell God what to do and how to do it. Ask him what to do. Because he's got wisdom beyond anything you know. When this lady began to describe what heaven was like and that God's desire was to have a people who would carry heaven on earth, not just talk about it, but would learn how to manifest it. And it's not even, learn isn't even right the right word. It's almost like absorb. Until you hold so much you can't hold anymore and it begins to spill. A little bit and a little bit and a little bit. But the more you go, the more it happens. Right? I remember there was a Holy Ghoster. This guy was a real Holy Ghoster. He knew a lot more than I did. I'm telling you. And he talked about that there's a perimeter that people carry. I thought, what kind of weirdo? I mean, I didn't get it. I just had no place for that. But you know what I've learned? There is. And when somebody over 20 miles away gets in your perimeter, now you're carrying something. John G. Lake couldn't shake hands at the end of the thing. He just wanted to meet people. Just, how do you do? Nice to meet you. You know, wasn't even trying to pray for him. Oh, I forgot the punchline. Listen, for 8 months he fasted and prayed to operate in the healing power of Christ. And one day they go to pray for this woman, him and a friend of his. His friend had been seeking the Holy Ghost. And they go over there and he said all of a sudden lightnings from heaven were going through his body. Lightning! And he put his hand on her head and lightning started going through her body. How would that be? That's a pretty good perimeter. God's trying to make us hungry enough to say, in this new day, I'm going to forget whatever happened to me. Who cares what happened? Shake the dust off. Okay? It happened. Let God explain it to you later. But say, no matter what, I want to be part of what he's doing. I want to be part. I want to be part of the remnant. I want to be one of the ones looking up. And if my heart isn't there yet, I'm going to pray until my heart is like his heart, where I say, didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Because I'm telling you, when you can really say that and mean it and pray into it so that you can begin to live like that, listen, when that becomes more important to you than working the miracle or being a big deal or writing a great book, God begins to open doors that he won't open for other people. Right? Because now you are beginning to manifest Jesus in the earth. So you can't manifest the stuff of Jesus until you manifest the heart. You can't do what he did until you do what he did. So if you're a person that says, I don't want to live the way I used to. Whatever I did before, it's not good enough. Because I don't want to live that way anymore. It may not be you, that's okay. But if that's you, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to be a carrier of the presence. Not to ever take any glory for myself, but to fulfill your will in the earth and to cause people to be touched with the very presence of the King so that they will know they have not met me, but they have met God. I pray that you'll train me. I pray that you'll prepare me. I pray that you'll even teach me how, because I don't know. But cause me to walk in heavenly realms. Teach me where my chair is in heaven. Teach me where my area is in heaven. Help me understand my position and my identity. And let me carry your presence if it takes the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.